Hello, and welcome to New Hope Christian Fellowship with Pastor John Gilbert.
Are you a babe in Christ, or are you a growing Christian? Only you can answer the question. Yes? If I said to David Peel, David, are you a babe in Christ? What will he say to me? He's going to say no. Why is he going to say no? Because over the last 10 years, I've watched him grow up. I've watched him grow from being a babe in Christ to being a mature Christian. Margie's nodding her head. You know what I'm talking about then, don't you? So, but we're not all at the same level as David, are we? No. Oh, hello.
I'm a baby.
Who?
I'm a baby.
You're a baby?
Yeah.
She's a babe in Christ. Oh, isn't that sweet? You're very sweet, you are. Isn't that amazing that even Elizabeth understands exactly what we're talking about? She knows her daddy's a mature Christian, and she knows she's a baby Christian, aren't you?
Little girl.
Yeah. Little girl?
Yeah.
She's a little girl. She's a girly Christian. I love it. Isn't that sweet? Some of you might even say to me this morning, which I hope not, but one or two of you might say, well, John, I can't answer for myself because I'm on a backslide. Someone could say that, couldn't they?
Not many people would talk.
Well, we hope nobody, but it could be said with me asking these questions. Well, my answer to that is slide back on in to the Lord Jesus. Every one of us, you may have even recently made a fresh commitment to Jesus. You may have heard a sermon, or somebody, your mum or your brother or something, might have challenged you where you're at in your Christian faith. You may have read a book. You may have watched something on YouTube about, you know, challenging you to go deeper in your Christian. I don't know. But through that, you might have made a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus, because we kind of all do these things. I asked a preacher, an old preacher, like 25 years ago. I said, it was New Year. I said, Mr. Marshall, have you made a New Year's resolution? Well, people do that at New Year, don't they? But do you know what his answer was? I'm making new resolutions every day. Every day. Because like David, we're growing daily, aren't we? Are we growing once a year? No. We want to make fresh commitments regularly with the Lord. So you may, if you're going deeper into Jesus, one way of doing that is we have a word called devotions. Jackie understands what I mean by that. You take a bit of time, maybe it's in the morning when you get out of bed or something, or some point in the day, and you will take your Bible and you'll have a quiet time. You'll read a passage of scripture and you'll meditate on it. You'll even consider praying and saying, Lord, for example, we read from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and it talks about putting on the armor of God. And you might read that passage and you say, Lord, I don't even know what this armor is all about. And you may say, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the devil being on my case. He's on my back, and I don't know what to do about it. Do you understand me? So a good way to deal with issues, to deal with troubles, have a quiet time. Have a time of devotions. And if you can do it every day, oh, I kid you not, you will go from a babe in Christ to becoming a mature Christian. Is that not what you want? Yes, it is, John. So, maturity can be set in your sights. Fanny Crosby said, watching above. That's what she said. That's a blind person who knows how to watch above. Do you see what I mean? She set maturity in her sights. She wants to be like Jesus Christ, you see. Well, some of you, I have to say, you are mature believers, and I don't want to put you down. If this is the case, I want to tell you this morning, somebody doesn't like it, David. Somebody doesn't like the fact that you are a mature Christian, and they want to do something about it. Now, who is that person? Who could it be? Mick Tipper? Who did you say, Margie? Well, there you go. You put Jackie Patter on the back. Look at that. You didn't read my sermon before everybody came in, did you? The devil himself is watching your progress. You didn't know that, did you? He's watching. You know, I think someone recently said to me, John, have you read the Screwtape Letters? Has anybody ever heard of the Screwtape Letters? Dominic? David? Jackie? My Mayette? Annie? Anybody? There is a Christian writer, his name is C.S. Lewis. And he, how many books he write, Dom?
He wrote academic books as well. So he's got
those standard Christian books.
He wrote other stuff.
Yeah. So C.S. Lewis, he was a Oxford or Cambridge lecturer, and he wrote this very, very simple book. And it called the Screwtape Letters. And it's a bit comical. That's right. Who was communicating with his nephew?
The characters, there were two characters describing his nephew.
I didn't know that. Uncle Screwtape. There we go. Yeah, I don't know if you heard everything David said. But basically, in a nutshell, there are two demons. Demons operate, work for the devil. And one of the demons is a nephew, and the other one is the uncle. And so the uncle was advising the nephew how to make havoc in a Christian's life. Yeah? Because the nephew was assigned to cause a Christian problems. Who's got problems in their life right now? Did I hear everybody everywhere? I can see a nod over there with Annie. Yeah. So maybe it's because there's a nephew out there, a nephew demon, he's giving you a bit of trouble, Camille. You don't understand me? Right.
My mum said, you don't have a problem anymore, you're dead.
Oh, dearie me. So, you know, here we are. You have an enemy. You have an enemy that is spiritual. Again, back to Fanny Crosby's book, her song. angels descending from above. That's what we sang. Do you remember? Angels descending, bring from above. Because those angels are trying to help us with our battle with these nephew or uncle demons. They're not my uncle. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that they are there. Their purpose is to hinder you from your progress to becoming a mature Christian. That's the fact. And the Bible, especially Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians is very carefully written about these facts. You want to get to higher ground in your Christian faith, don't you? But, you know, you only get there with a bit of blood, sweat and tears, you know, pressing on into Jesus as to how to overcome these difficulties with these demons. Now, let's turn to this passage. And shall I read it again? Let's read it again as quick as I can because time is short. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he says, wherefore, take on the whole armor of God, that you're able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints, and for me, and I'll stop the last bit because I want to focus. I'm going to be sharing this for a couple of weeks. The text mentions the wiles of the devil. That's what it said. So this reveals to us a determined enemy. We, on the other hand, this enemy wants to destroy us. We, it says, be strong in the Lord. The Bible is encouraging us to be strong. We are to put on an armor. Well, none of us, if I look at you all this morning, no one looks like they got any armor on. You've got your coats on. You've got your gloves on. You've got your shoes on. Yeah? So these are facts that this passage is telling us. It says we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood. So what that kind of means, and I'm racing through this because of time. You know, if somebody gives you a hard time, if someone's giving you grief at work, do you say, look, mate, I've had enough of you. Let's go outside. Eh? What do I mean by that? Well, that means you want to punch up, doesn't it? Do you ever say that to people? Should we say that to people as Christians, David? The reason being is the scriptures is telling us we are not fighting flesh and blood, which just means we're not fighting other people. But they're giving us a hard time. So what's going on? The powers that be, and you've got to admit, that this passage reveals to us that there are powers in operation that are going on behind the scenes. So these powers are influencing people. They're influencing people to be wicked. They're influencing people to be nasty towards other people. And that other people could be you. I mean, we can all put our hands up and say, John, I know what you're talking about because so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so was nasty to me. So much so that I wanted to lay one on them. Am I not saying the right thing to the right people? I am, aren't I? So there are powers that control, and hear this, these powers are able to possess people. For example, when the Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, as you read the passage, which I'm not familiar where the verse is, but it says that Satan entered him, didn't it, Jackie? Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. How incredible is that? That a spirit that you cannot see can enter somebody. I mean, that's quite incredible, isn't it? So it's scary as well. Mayette said it's scary. If you're born again, you should have the Holy Spirit in you. So if the devil himself can possess a man like Judas or someone else, God the Holy Spirit, so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is able to come into us. The Lord Jesus, when he was in his resurrected body, he breathed onto the disciples the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that phrase somewhere in one of the Gospels? He breathed on them. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and went into the disciples. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he said, I saw the Spirit come down in the form of a dove and went into Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? So we can either be full of the Holy Spirit, or if we go on a backslide, dare I say it, if you go on a backslide, what's going to happen? Well, the Holy Spirit, David went on a backslide with having an affair with Bathsheba. And when the prophet told him off, rebuked him, what did David say? Shall I tell you? Psalm 51, he cried out in prayer to God and he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Why did he say that? Do you know why? Because the previous king of Israel, Saul, the Lord withdrew the Holy Spirit from him because of his disobedience. Wow. We have to be careful how we walk. We have to be careful how we talk. We have to be careful how we live our Christian lives. Well, let me just say this. This has come at a timely part of the year. It's Halloween. Well, I don't celebrate Halloween. And in the week, the woman that gave the church a bit of grief the other day, on Tuesday, I told her, I said, I don't like your decorations. I told her. Oh, she said, Halloween, I love Halloween. I celebrate Halloween more than I celebrate Christmas. Well, that said it all. That's what she said. We celebrate Christmas, whereas we don't want to celebrate Halloween because we worship Jesus Christ. Halloween is a time. And for, I know a lot of people, many people, we're talking millions and millions and millions will celebrate it naively, and they will celebrate it ignorantly. They don't know. They do not know. And these people are lovely people. Some might even be Christians that don't know. They don't know what they're doing. Potentially, they're opening up their lives. Listen, let me remind you, if Satan can possess Judas Iscariot, who had been a follower of Jesus for 3 years, could he not possess someone else? Even if they're naive or ignorant? You understand me? So when I was a child, I act like a child. I behave like a child. We celebrated Halloween. We played games. We had a laugh. And you did as well, I'm sure, every one of us. But I don't want to do it now. I just say this. And I notice in the newspaper, on the radio, people talking about horror films. We were talking about it last night. I remember being 14 years of age and watching Dracula or Frankenstein. Alien. I was 14. And I watched it in black and white, Boris Karloff. And then I went up to my bedroom, shaking. Oh! And I was pulling back the curtains like that to see if Frankenstein was behind the curtains. Maybe you've done that. There was a film, I've never ever watched this film. I never ever want to watch it. It's The Exorcist. It was on the radio the other day, they were talking about it. It's the worst, they reckon it was the worst of all horror films. I won't watch horror films. I don't want to know about it. But these things, when it was first written, the writer was trying to portray some sort of story about that the devil does possess people, like in that film. But I've noticed that every year that passes me by, that this Halloween business seems to get worse and worse and worse. And let me explain. The devil, for many, many years, he has worked some sort of, he has made people believe he's just a cartoon character with a red fork and a red outfit like Spider-Man, and he got a tail and he looks like a cartoon character. And when I was a tattoo artist, you know, I noticed a lot of people in those days, they used to get a little red devil tattooed on their arm. I mean, I can tell you some stories about satanic tattoos. I've done them myself. And I didn't like it. Afterwards, when the Lord opened my eyes, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus delivered me from that lifestyle. So what I'm going to say is, Satan is alive and he is living and he is on this earth today. Look, this dear letter, you must learn, people. If I said to you, are you reading your Bibles? And you just look at me as if I'm speaking double Dutch. It's not going to impress the Lord Almighty. And if you have got it in your heart to become a mature Christian, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to study it. Look at this. Chapter 2, the same letter. Chapter 2, we go there and I'll read a few verses. Listen, chapter 2, verse 1. What's Paul say? Huh? Ephesians. Hold on. Wait there. He says, and you, that's you, right? Paul says, you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now once, if you're a Christian, he says you once were dead. What? You dead, Mick? No. Anyone dead here this morning?
No, they're not
dead. You sure about that? What he's saying is, when he says the word "you has he quickened," it means that Jesus in heaven has poured his spirit upon you, open your eyes. That word "quickened" means he's woke you up. Are you awake today? Listen, look at the next bit. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the, listen, prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. Jackie, who's that? Satan, see? He is the prince of the power of the air. And he is still around today. He's pulling strings. Have you ever seen a puppet show where you get a puppet and somebody is hiding behind a screen and they got these handle things with strings going down holding a puppet? You know what I'm saying? Yeah? The devil, the prince of the power of the air, is doing exactly that now here on earth. He's treating people as if they're puppets. He's using them for his own ends. That's what Satan is doing. Now, I've just shown you from one letter that the devil is in existence. The Bible itself shows us again and again and again that he's there. And we need to be on our guard. And I'll say this to you. He has a purpose. What is that purpose? His purpose is your... I'm going to point at everyone. Who, what? He wants to destroy you. He wants you out of the way. He don't like none of us. He don't want... Well, he wants you, yeah. He wants you to go to hell with him. You want that? But that's what he wants. He knows he cannot ever go to heaven. And if he can't go there and you can, is he going to like that? He ain't going to take it lightly, you tiptoeing through the tulips to get to heaven. No. He's going to give you grief. Grief and more grief. And David says he's a mature Christian. David, have you had a lot of grief along the way? There you go. I didn't tell David to say that before the meeting. All right? That is from his own experience, you see. So we know the devil... The Lord Jesus says he come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I think it's John 10:10. In 2 Corinthians, it says this. This is fascinating. It says he can transform himself. Remember I said that he made everybody think he's a cartoon character? The Bible tells us he can transform himself as an angel of light. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that if he wants to look like a good religious person, he can. He can make himself look like the Pope. He can act religious. He can do that. And guess what? Who follows religious people? Lots of people. But is that religion real? Is it true? Well, you know that saying, the proof of the pudding is in the... So, you know, we're wise enough. We've studied enough. We've experienced enough. We know what's right and what is wrong. Is that not right, David? We know. We put it into practice. You know, Maya said earlier on, Jesus Christ, he says he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Right. That is not the words of an angel of light. There is no other religion in the whole world where the leader has been bold enough to use the statement that Mayette quoted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only Jesus Christ. So be on your guard. Be careful. He can transform himself to be some religious leader and, you know, be informed. Another thing that Peter, one of the disciples, 1 Peter 5:8 says that even Satan himself goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That doesn't sound very nice. Would you like to be devoured? No, you don't. Well, interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't here. Nor was Mayette, nor was Jackie, Michael, and I don't think Jan and Margie were here, but a lot of you were. And somebody else was in the building. And somebody else took it upon themselves to act naturally. They were doing what they know best. They wanted to devour Annie, Nika, and Jen in the kitchen. You saw for yourself, with your very own eyes, somebody who was a puppet in the hand of the devil. That's what you saw. And we stand against it. We don't tolerate it. We don't want it. But that person, and he didn't get them by the neck and take them outside and give them a right-hander, because she doesn't fight flesh with flesh. We're not to do that. We fight spiritual forces in heavenly places. Isn't that right? So we need to learn and understand how we live our lives as Christians, how we conduct ourselves, okay? So, you know, the devil is alive and well, and he influences people. He controls people. He is the spirit of the power of the air. So there's a spiritual battle going on. And this devil, you know what? The world's in a bit of a tough place, isn't it? Anybody notice that? We got famines and earthquakes and floods and wars upon wars upon wars. You know the people of this world that don't believe in Jesus? You know what they're wanting? Do you know what they want? They want somebody to bring peace. That's what they want. And do you know what? They will accept anybody. And one day that person's going to turn up. And you know who he is? Because they're not trusting in Jesus Christ, that is the way. Right, and they're not following him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. They will go for, well, I think Mayette mentioned Mickey Mouse. She didn't want to mention him again, but somebody who is not Jesus Christ. And the Bible talks about that person as the Antichrist. And they will take that person on just so that there's a bit of peace in this world. When that day happens, we will be here praying and singing to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? Let me move on. We're in a battle. It's quite clearly seen in this passage. There's a battle raging. Chapter 6. Isn't that right? Armour of God. I've lost my way, Dominic. Let's go back. Here we go. So verse 10. Go to verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren. That word brethren is plural. It's not singular. I'm trying to learn a little bit of English grammar, aren't I, Mayette? So there's more than one. It doesn't say finally brother, finally sister. It's brethren. It's all of us. Yes? So you are not alone. You're not on your own. You're part of a flock. You're part of a Christian group, a church. We are brethren, men and women in Christ. Okay, so you're not on your own. If you feel on your own, if you're feeling that you've got to fight this fight on your own, no, come. Let's get together. Let's spend time together and let's fight this fight, the good fight of faith together. Yes? Wonderful. We have to face the same foe, the same devil that was in Judas Iscariot. We've got to fight this person, and we're going to do it in a spiritual way, in a Christian way. You know, you're born again, right? Well, I've got two born-again believers in the house. You're born again, right? You see, the day that you said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I come before you and I want you to help me to know you. I want to know you. I want to give my life to you. I want to commit my life to you. Therefore, I open up my heart that you will come in and take control of my destiny. Yeah? If you've done that, you're on your road to salvation and walking with the Lord and being born again, right? The day you did that, that is the day you got into a fighting relationship with the devil. Because before that, he don't care nothing about you. He doesn't give a monkey's about you because you can't do him any harm. But the day that you became a believer, Liam, Dominic, Nick, and everyone, that was the day that you started your own fight with the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes? Because you went from living in the realm of darkness to living in the world of light and walking in the light of our salvation. So we have to fight this fight. But we don't fight each other. Some people, brothers or sisters, maybe they didn't read their Bible properly or understand things, and they fight each other. And that's what we don't want. That is the worst thing you can have in your church, that we end up fighting each other. You know, in the Corinthian church, you know that phrase, some say they're of Apollos, some say they're of Paul, and some say they're of Cephas. They were fighting each other with different doctrines, Jackie. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know, anyway, I'll carry on. We need to learn to help each other in this battle against the adversary. And that's why I'm preaching this today. Because what happened 2 weeks ago, it took us by surprise. You know, none of us were prepared for somebody possessed with a devil coming into our little community fellowship and kicking off. Even the Israelis weren't prepared the day that Hamas came over the border and killed 1,400 of their people. Took them by surprise. So today, in a kind of way, I'm arming us with what our response is. What is our response when we're confronted with wickedness? Because that's exactly what it was. Wickedness. Spiritual forces in high places controlling somebody. That's what it is. So, what do I say? Were you upset on that day? Were you struggling with, maybe you were tempted to say, I'll get her by the neck and I'll take her outside and I'll sort her out. Yes? Maybe that went through your mind. It could have discouraged you. It could have drained you of your energy and thought, you know what? I bet you there's another church somewhere else where that sort of thing might never happen. So I'm going to go there, you know, out of discouragement. That could happen. You know, we look around, and when I heard Nika phone me up and say, John, it is chaos here. I thought, what? In our Sunday service, you know, in our fellowship, she used that word. Chaos. Chaotic. Our brothers, our sisters were going through difficulty. And it doesn't only happen here, it happens with all believers everywhere, okay? We need to be on our guard. You know, you're pilgrims, but you're not the only ones. Remember, he said, finally, my brethren, there are more of us than one. We need to rush to the aid to help each other, to defend each other, to look after each other. Yes, you witnessed wickedness, darkness coming into this vicinity. We stand against it in Jesus' name. We fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. That's what we do. How do you do that? Go quickly to your knees in prayer and say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, protect us. Lord, defend us. Lord, vindicate us. We go to Jesus Christ. He is the one that is able to cut the strings of that puppet master trying to control somebody. Isn't he? He can do it. We fight with the Lord. We're on the Lord's side. You know? Speak words of encouragement. Oh, look, our time is gone. My time is gone. I'm going to rush through this very quickly. Last point. Says here in this passage, verse 10, he said, where is verse 10? Finally, my brethren, be, there we go. We, Maya and I did watch Graham Norton on Friday night, and do you know who was on Graham Norton? Arnold Schwarzenegger. I did enjoy it, David. I saw him for the first time as a family man. But Arnie's strong. He can pick up 500 pounds. He can do that. I know Jackie can't do it. That's about half a ton, I think. He's strong in the physical realm. He's a bodybuilder, full of muscles, Mick. You know the man? But listen, you could stand next to him and say, I'm not as strong as Arnold. I'm weak. But are we weak in the Lord? Are we trembling in the Lord because we're so fragile? We don't have it. You, maybe all of us. I went out with this girl once, way before I married Mayette. She brought me to my knees. You know, you've got a woman, oh, dearie me, you know, I love you. Ladies, but you go out with the wrong person, they can drain the strength out of you. You know, even a man, you could go out with the wrong man and they drain the life out of you. Do you understand me? And you will know what weakness is. But we're not to be weak. Paul has said, be strong. That's the word of God. Be strong. That means you can strengthen yourself with God's strength. And that's partly why he's saying, put on the armor of God. If you're weak and feeble, yeah, if you haven't got anything to defend yourself with, get the helmet of salvation on. Get the breastplate of righteousness. Put the armor of God on. It don't matter whether you've never been in the gym to build up muscles like Arnold. Yeah, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That can be you. That's exactly what the verse says. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Dear David was like Adriel with a sling and a few stones going up against a 10-foot Goliath. Did he tremble? No. Was he worried? No. Even Goliath, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he says, who is this dog that, has he come with sticks and stones to play with me? You know, something like that, he said. But David said, you come at me with the arm of flesh or something, but I come at you with the name of the Lord God of Israel. You see, David knew he weren't fighting in his own strength. He knew that God was behind him. He knew that God was on his side. And you need to know that. When you're confronted with someone that's demonic and under the power of darkness, you've got to remember who you are. You're a child of God. And you fight in Jesus' name, in prayer and humility. And you will win the battle. No matter how bad that person is, God will take their head off. David took Goliath's head off with his own sword. And my dad said to me, when he had trouble with his second wife, he said, John, I'll give her a bit of rope. What did she do? She hung herself. She didn't commit suicide, right? It's an awful thing. But I remember Dad telling me that. He gave her enough rope. She went and hung herself in their relationship. It died, right? You may not understand me completely, but, you know, some people, it's another way of saying that. You let some people carry on the way they are in their dark ways. They're digging a hole for themselves. What will happen? They will fall in that hole. That's what I'm talking about. Judas Iscariot let the devil come into him. What for? For 30 pieces of silver to hand Jesus Christ over to the enemy. Remember? What did he do? He dug a hole for himself. He fell in it. He hung himself. That's what people will do. The Lord will withdraw his presence from that person's life, and you see what Satan will do with them. The battle belongs to the Lord, right? So, we're going to wrap it up. As you go home, what you going to do? You're going to get strong. Yeah? You're going to be strong. This time next week, I want to see you all come in here like that. What I want, you know on the weights, yeah? You get a weight training bar. You know what I'm talking about? You get a Bible on that side of the weights, one on the other, and you get your Bible and your bench press, yeah? You do some weight training with the Word of God. Is that right, Dominic? Right, so, listen. There is power in the Holy Spirit, and that power of the Holy Spirit is available to every one of us, right? That's the first thing. The second thing, there is power in prayer. We can all go home and we can all pray. We can get on our knees, and that prayer is available to every one of us. It's not exclusive. It's for all of us. There is power in the Word of God. I had a shower this morning, right? And in that shower, you know what I was singing? Jackie remembers this song. There is power in the name of Jesus. Remember that one, Jackie. But there's power in the Word of God. And if you're going to ignore the Word of God, you ain't going to get powerful. You ain't going to strengthen yourself, right? There is also power in the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've done anything disobedient, if you've let a bit of sin into your life, if you backslid, remember what I said at the start, and you're struggling with your commitment to Jesus, repent. Stop it. Come back to the Lord and plead the blood of Christ over your life, and he'll forgive you. He'll wash you whiter than snow, as he did with David. And you will get back on your feet and you will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Can you do that? Yes, you can. And finally, there is power in Jesus' name. There is power in the name of Jesus, as I just sang.
And there's a heart in Jesus.
Hallelujah. And you can declare, Lord, Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, look, before we close, Psalm 27, very, very quickly. It's not in notes, but I'll read it. I love the verse. When Maya and I did an outreach about 6 weeks ago, we went down the town and I said to myself, as we were preparing mentally, I'm trying to prepare my mind because we're going and in enemy lines. You know what I'm saying? And it says, Psalm 27, the Lord is the light of my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You meditate on that. You meditate on that. Come back next week. I'll tell you what, you'll be giants. Yes, you'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Lord says, whoever overcomes, you read those letters, to seven letters in the book of Revelation, and the Lord is talking about them that overcome. He will give you the right to be with him, to sit with him, to commune with him, to do things for him. He'll give it to you. You can overcome these things that try to drag us down. Yes? Amen. You don't have to live defeated lives. You can all be overcomers. And there's plenty. As I said, I gave a half a dozen list of resources to help you all to grow in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for the word of God. We do thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We meet at Grove Hill Community Center at 11:30 p.m. in Hemel Hempstead. God bless you.